Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Well, hello there, and welcome to another episode of
Skibbity Boop 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 Boop. It's Fingers on Buzzers.
Ooh, smooth. Oh, I love a bit of scat jazz intro. Gorgeous. I'm Lucy Porter. That was Jen Ryan. Boop, 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 boop. Biddly, boop, boop, boop. And the Vixen. I'm not trained in jazz.
Really?
Yeah, no. Oh, it's extraordinary, isn't it? I mean, I just picked it up.
I thought that was 3 years at the conservatoire.
Well, I've hung around the back of Ronnie Scott's occasionally, but, you know.
Well, that's as good an education in a lot of things.
Really. But anyway, it is a delight to have you with us, dear listeners. And we have got a cracker of a show for you, haven't we, Jen?
We really do.
Gorgeous guest, a polymath. She's a writer. She's a comedian. She's a podcaster. She is adorable. She's Laura Lex.
Very excited to have her on the show.
And I'm also excited about our listener quiz, which has been sent in by Nathan Chappell.
It's going to be a good one. I can feel it. I'm getting warm vibes from the name Nathan Chappell.
And if Sarah Vaughan or Ella Fitzgerald were about to do this show, how do you think they might be feeling?
Smooth.
Fingers on buzzers. Poor Amanda just having to turn the volume down there because... Oh, dear.
Yeah, we should probably move on, shouldn't we?
Should we move on? Anyway, let's get on with the show. Now, we are very excited about being joined by a woman of many talents, Jen.
Oh.
She's an award-winning comedian. She's a podcaster with a variety of podcasts and a very successful author and all-round lovely thing. It's Laura Lex.
Hello.
Hello,
my dudes. How are you?
It's so nice to speak to you. And I know we are going to be talking to you largely about your appearance on Pointless because we love a celebrity Pointless anecdote on this show.
But especially if you can dob anyone in for cheating.
Yes, we have had that. James O'Brien talked about the cheating that went on. But I am going to see, I don't know what happened in your episode, but I think you were probably brilliant because you know lots about lots of different things.
I was brilliant as long as you tuned in really early to that episode.
Okay.
We were sort of like a flash in a pan brilliance rather than a good at the quiz brilliance.
Who were you?
Yeah, we were first rounders. It was me and Lee Ridley, Lost Voice guy. Mm-hmm. And I was so gutted because I love Pointless so much. I love it. And I did the studio warm up for quite a few years. So it was such a nice thing to be there, not doing warm up. Like, not that warm up's not a great job, you know, and it was brilliant for so many years. But you also feel a bit part of the furniture, and you know, it's not exactly what you got into entertainment to do.
Yeah.
So I was like, yes, I'm finally on Pointless. And then I think I was at Elstree for about 4 hours, 7 minutes of which were the show. So it wasn't great.
So you and Lee, I mean, it is a very difficult show because that first round is, you're such a, you know, you can be lucky, you can be unlucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty fancy, isn't it?
It was films, which isn't my, I'm not great at films. And it was something like films beginning with B. And it was that toss up where I knew 4 or 5 of them, I think, but I couldn't quite get my head around what the Pointless audience wouldn't have known, because of doing it so much and watching it quite a lot. Like, you know, that actually the more modern stuff that as a, like, you know, maybe people in their 20s would go, that's the most obvious one. That's actually often the less well-known answer, because the people that do the 100 answers are maybe a bit older. So, yes, and I can't remember what the options were, but I think the only one that would have saved us, I didn't know anyway. It was something like Battleship
Potemkin, yeah.
Is that, yeah. Potemkin. And I'd never heard those words before. So there's no way I would have pulled that out of my bottom.
Yeah. I mean, that is a very obscure film. It's interesting you say that about, because I also have done warm up, but never for a quiz show.
Oh.
And what is it like? Is it just the celebrity ones where they have an audience?
No, it's all of them. Or it was at the time. It was fun-ish. I've met some people from that still follow me on social media now and be like, oh, that's how we first met you. Like, you know, because you pretty much are just hanging out with 30 people that have gone to see Pointless be recorded. There would be the odd person, though, that was so angry about me interrupting Richard Osman with my stupid ideas and my stupid face. Like, I remember one woman once, like, I was sort of, you know, look over here, come on, we're doing this. And she went, would you mind getting out of my way? I can't see Alexander. And I was like, No, I'm being paid so that you can't see Alexander. Like, that's the point. But it was quite a nice one, because we'd basically just play Pointless together. Like, we'd all watch the round and then I'd come back and go, who got that one? Did anyone get the Pointless one? And we'd have a nice chat about it. Because the very first warm-up I ever did was Upstart Crow, which, if you haven't seen it, is a big, like, period sitcom. And I didn't know this at the time, but I talked to other comics that have done warm-up since, and they go, oh my god, you did warm-up for, one, a sitcom, two, a sitcom with that many costumes and changes. And I was like, yeah, didn't know any better. But I was on and off stage, like, of a record, I would do well over an hour every week. Yes. And now I look back and go, oh yeah, that was difficult. But at the time, I had no idea. You just show up, do 10 minutes and leave.
I mean, a great way to kind of earn your stripes as a warm-up. That's your norm, isn't it? Once you've been there, you kind of...
I remember once, though, there was something had gone wrong technical-wise, and so I was doing, like, a big bit. You know, when you're digging into old shows, like, what's bit that sort of works for this? And I turn around to watch Harry Enfield, just, he was like leaning against something watching me laughing and thinking, this is a really cool moment when you turn around and see Harry Enfield laughing at you. You're like, oh, all right then, I love my job.
That is very cool. Well, also, I mean, I would imagine on Pointless, if you are getting answers right, you know, as the warm-up, that does give you that sort of sense of, oh yeah, I could do this.
Well, it was quite nice. Like, you know, you'd nip down in the morning. I think we used to record 4 episodes a day or something. or it was fewer on the celebrity days, but I think on a normal record day it was 3 or 4. Oof. So you just watched 4 episodes of Pointless and stood up every now and again and I'd get the trophy out and we'd all hand the trophy round and have a look and then we'd all agree that it was smaller but heavier than we'd been expecting.
That's so true.
And then Mark Olver showed me, because he does most of the warm-up, I think I used to do it when he wasn't available, that it, but if you got your phone out and put the torch on, you could send the light up through the Pointless trophy and make it look really cool. So I used to wow the audience with that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great tip. That's going to be my party trick. Not that I, every time I have a party, make people look at all my trophies, but I do. So you were robbed of the Pointless trophy. So basically, films beginning with B, that was it. You were out.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so unfortunate. But we've all been out in the first round. Don't feel, you know, alone.
Well, yeah, they did say they'd have me back. I've not been asked yet, but I will hold them to that.
Oh, yes. And you'll
if this show goes off air before I get a chance to redeem myself, I'll be livid.
But you've got to, yeah, no, the story arc is that, you know, from warm up to going out in the first round to then eventually.
Oh, yeah, that's the movie version.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. I'm really bad at the last round, though. The finding the pointless answer in the last one, I'm not good at that. It's a bit like Pop Master when you do really well and then the 3 and 10. I can't.
Yeah.
It's too loose. Yeah. I'm good if you ask me a specific question, but if it's a loose thing of just go, my brain just goes silent and you're like, no, I need you.
It's the tension music as well, though. There's a limited number of seconds left.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter if there's a clock counting down or if they say it doesn't matter how long you take. I think it's that tension bed.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Gets you every time, doesn't it?
Because your brain's just thinking, there's not much time left. And you're like, no, so come up with something. But instead, you're just focused on the fact that there's less and less time left. It's like, you know, when you can't go to sleep, so you're just thinking, oh, it's even closer to when I've got to get up now. That's my reaction to being put under pressure. Bad at it.
I know that we should all use the tension bed. If you're ever trying to win an argument with someone or if someone's annoyed you, then just put the tension bed under, as you sort of say, well, what are you going to do about it?
And then you wave your pointless trophy at them and like a weapon. Like, it's heavier than it looks.
Small but mighty, like, you know, like me. I thought you would be great, and I'm sure you would have been if you'd been allowed to continue, because you have so many brilliant areas of expertise, because you are, you know, you podcast very much about learning and knowledge.
Yeah.
And you've got the podcast you do with your brother. Tell us about that one.
Well, I think I'm a facts enthusiast more than a learner. Like,
yes.
So the podcast I do with my brother is, my brother's not a comedian or in entertainment at all. He does software, but he did his degree in microbiology. And he's 10 years younger than me. And through my whole career, he's so into comedy. He's so interested in it. We've always talked about that. But I can't return the favor in terms of science. So we're doing this podcast where he's trying to teach me GCSE science. And I'm very bad at it and I can't focus anymore. Like, I did my GCSE science at school and it was fine. I'm not, you know, I wasn't an exceptional student, but I was fine. And now he tries to teach me this stuff and I just think, there's no way 15-year-olds are learning this. Yes. This is ridiculous. So none of it sinks in. And what we do is we do a lesson and then there's a quiz at the end of the episode. But in real time, we wait a week between the lesson and the quiz to let it all fully flow out of my brain. And there's some weeks where he goes, so last week we were learning about, oh, I don't know, whatever we were, relative forces. And I'll sit there thinking, were we? Like, none of these words you're saying are
even
vaguely familiar.
The episode is kind of...
Nothing. No. Nothing. He said to me this week, he said, teaching you is like Memento, which is another film I haven't seen. It's up there with Battleship Thomas. He said, because you make notes for yourself and then the next episode is just you deciphering the notes you've left for yourself trying to work out what you're talking about. But it's the same with the other podcast. Me and Will Duggan, we go on these lovely days out and we learn all about history, and like, I'll wander around the whole of the Richard III Museum and look at all of the facts about the Wars of the Roses, and I love it and I find it fascinating, and that is so much better than science to me. And then I walk out and someone could say, what year was the Wars of the Roses? And I go, I don't know, but I had a lovely time and it all made sense while I was in there.
Well, I think being a facts enthusiast is a really lovely thing to be, and I don't think you should beat yourself up about the fact that the facts don't necessarily linger, because then you can be enthusiastic about them all over again.
Yeah.
Just never stop being enthusiastic. I think that's just delightful.
Always knowing things for the first time.
And we couldn't really talk to you without talking about one of your other enthusiasms, which is one that I certainly share, which is, of course, Jürgen Klopp.
Oh, he's so good, isn't he?
it was one of the highlights of lockdown, was yes. your gorgeous Twitter thread and then subsequent book about the sensible Jürgen. Sport, is that, because often we find that sport is an area where people in showbiz lack knowledge. Mm. Like if we're putting together our fantasy pub quiz team, often sport is a bit of a weak link. But do you retain any information?
No, I don't. I would retain nothing, I think. I like to watch sport, and I love sports documentaries. But no, it doesn't stay in. I think the only sport I'd have much of a chance of like scrubbing up on would be England cricket circa 2005. That would be the only thing I'd have a chance of revising and learning. There's too much football. I think if you start football now, where's the beginning? Yeah. Like there's too much. It's too big.
Yeah,
so you'd need a sport that's small.
Yeah.
Mm.
I sort of feel you'd probably start in Sheffield. I don't know why I've got that. We've just done a quiz where it was about what was the first football team, and it turns out it was Sheffield City.
Sheffield FC.
Sheffield FC. Yeah. But I don't know if that's going to be going out before or after interview, so I may be messing with time.
Whoa.
That's good trivia, though.
Yeah, you see. And Nottingham Forest.
Who did they play if they were the first team?
It's a good question.
Yes, just knocking about. It's like, being the first.
It's like, come and have a go.
Yeah. So the first
we're the
team.
First, we're the best. We're going to win the league. We've already won the league. We invented the league.
Well, I was hoping that there might be another sport that I could quiz you on, because you did write your debut novel about a sport that's very close to my heart and many people will have played at school, netball.
Yeah. Do you like netball?
I haven't thrown a ball in anger for some years.
Oh,
I love the memory of netball.
Yes, good. That's where I'm coming from with the book too. I started doing... It all came from, you'll have done this gig, you know, G Live in Guildford. There's that funny little studio room. And I think I was emceeing that and there were some women there on a netball night out. And I sort of went something like, oh my God, really? Like you're choosing to play that as adults? That's disgusting. And sort of started improvising some stuff about how stupid netball is. Because once you start saying it out loud, you know, where you're like, there's that portion that those two are allowed in. And then there's that overlap that four of them can go in, but not that bit. And you can only throw the ball two sanctioned ways. And once you've caught it, you can use a pivot foot. But for 3 seconds, all of this nonsense. And I started improvising that, and the women were just laughing their heads off, because obviously we were going, yeah, why did we have to learn that? So I went away and wrote that up into a whole bit, and it went at the end of an Edinburgh show where I'd sort of been talking about feminism and people kind of having a go and people sort of accusing trans rights of degrading women's sports, but actually women's sports degrade themselves with the pay difference, and if you really want to work on equality for women, there are such bigger factors affecting our ability to succeed, such as wasting 8 years at primary school learning a game that's got no financial, there's nothing. Like, so that turned into that. And then it was such like this netball was just getting such a good reaction that I wrote it as a TV show. And I thought, like, can't you just imagine? So the book's about this woman whose husband leaves her and she's a bit older. So she's already retired and her kids have grown up. And she's like, what the hell are my hobbies? Doesn't have her own stuff. So she ends up starting this sort of wonky netball team out of other people that are also just looking for anything. And I was like, wouldn't it be cool to do like a really true British comedy with all of the brilliant comic actresses playing netball together. Like, and all like 45 and over, like a proper get together. So, you know, you always hope you have like one cool female comedy. Comedic actress in everything. Put them all in the same thing, it'd be so much fun. And then the rival netball team, which is, you know, all of your other comic actresses. So I wrote it for TV, and then TV went, is there any chance you could make them all 22? And I said no. And so,
do you know what, watching 22 year olds bounce around is not different. As fun as watching, you know, proper. When I was playing netball, I was at Catholic school, and it was nuns, and nuns playing netball is still one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And that's what you want. You want people who've lived, people who are bouncing.
I think a breakup at 22 sucks, but a breakup at 58 is very different. It's a different part of your life, and it's a different world that you're in. It's, you know, it's just different. And then I wanted to, so when the book people, so I did those Klopp tweets that went viral, and it was honestly like a Cinderella moment of my life, because they said, oh, you're clearly a writer. Do you want to write the Klopp stuff as a book? And I sort of said, like, no, that's a very thin joke. There's no way we can stretch that over a book. And then the pandemic happened and all of my work got cancelled. And I was like, you know what? A book sounds great. Let's write a book. That is a brilliant idea. And they said, well, look, why? How about you write the Klopp book and then any novel of your choice? I didn't even have to pitch it. And I told them about all these women in Pivot and the idea of this novel. And they just went, yeah, sounds great. Write it. Go. So it's like genuinely like the closest to a fairy tale I've ever been in. It was amazing.
Amazing. Well, and I have used that as a springboard to write a quiz for you and Jenny, if that's all right.
Yes.
It is a quiz about netball, great. Which I felt would advantage you, Laura.
I'm so sorry, Jenny.
I mean, it was already a low bar for me because, I didn't get anywhere near the netball team at school, I think. Probably played it about four times under sufferance when the A, B and C team were all off playing away matches. Occasionally we would get to use the netball court. I don't have much in the way of athletic prowess. I'll admit that.
But you have great general knowledge skills.
Okay.
And I feel you may do well, because we've already established that Laura, although she's written an entire book about netball, things fall out of her head very quickly, whereas things stay in your head for a long time. So what I'm going to do, let me just find my little quiz. Where is it?
Don't look.
Here we go. Yeah, don't look. That would sort of ruin it. okay, now I'm going to start off with, I'll go to you in turn. I'm going to start with you, Laura, our guest. This is one that does actually come up in pub quizzes, so Jenny will definitely know this one. It's the classic question about any sport. How many players are there in a netball team on the field in play?
On one team? I think it's seven.
You are correct to think it is seven. Very good. Jenny, I'm coming to you. Again, this is a very easy question. If you get this wrong, it'll be embarrassing. In netball, WA stands for what?
Wing attack.
Yes.
Nice.
Get in. This next question for you, Laura, you've already answered, but I'm going to tell it as a formality. How long can a player hold the ball?
That is 3 seconds, and then a whistle blows and you have to give it to the other team.
It is a ridiculous game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really ridiculous. Stupid. There's a theory, I don't know if it's true, but that netball was sort of created from a correspondence where someone was trying to explain basketball via letter correspondence. And a lot of the finesse got lost. But I don't know if that's true. It might be, is it someone apocryphal?
Describing it. Yeah, someone describing a game. Well, there may be a question later on about the origins of netball. The next question is for you again, Jenny. If a player moves with the ball, what is this foul called?
Oh, see, I know what it is in basketball. Travelling.
It is not. Oh. I'm going to throw it over to Laura. Do you know?
Is it footwork?
That's not the answer I've got, but I have to say, of course.
That rings a bell with me.
It is stepping. I found from the official.
I remember being told off for footwork though, so yeah. I think that's a point.
Suddenly it's triggering, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's all coming back to me now.
People will write in. Okay, so now we're back with Laura. What is the middle section of the netball court called?
Like the very middle bit. Maybe the the centre circle?
Well, I will give you that. I was thinking of the centre third, but of course within
okay.
the centre third there it's is the centre a centre circle. Circle, so you get a point for that. Jenny, which team won the 2019 Netball World Cup? That was the last one. There'll be another one next year.
Australia.
It's a really good guess, but it's not. Laura, do you have any idea?
I think it was England.
It was not. The correct answer was New Zealand.
Oh,
so you were in the Antipodes.
So close. Is it in Australia next year?
It's not. It's in South Africa.
Right, okay.
Which brings me on to my next
hemisphere.
Question, which I believe are we back with Laura now? I've lost track.
Yeah.
Which British city hosted the 2019 World Cup?
Do you know what? I think some friends went to it. Where do they do fun stuff like that? Birmingham.
Oh, they do so much fun stuff in Birmingham, but not
but
this
not
particular
that.
Fun thing. It's where the Eurovision fun is going to happen.
Liverpool.
It's Liverpool. Okay, so it's in South Africa next time, next year.
Liverpool's not in South Africa.
I might go in South Africa. I would like, you know, if anyone wants to commission us all as
Ooh.
A three to go
yeah.
four with Amanda. Sorry, Amanda.
Amanda's like,
gosh.
Amanda's got her own bib ready to go.
She's pivoting furiously as we speak. Okay, a couple more questions. Which national side has won the Netball World Cup most often? Either of you can take that. I've lost track. You've said it already, Jen. It was Australia. 11 times. Okay.
I knew he had something to do with it.
What is the nickname of the English football team? Netball team, even.
I'll take your first question, the Lionesses. Thank you.
Yes, there you go. Question master slip. You can have a point for that. And Jenny, the netball team. It's another national emblem. I'll give you that.
The roses.
It is the roses.
Oh, well done.
For some reason, I opened my mouth and the first thing I wanted to say was the leeks. I'm like, not England. What's wrong with
See,
you?
I was thinking unicorns. I was like, the front of my
Ooh.
Passport. Like, what else is there?
Yeah, well, the Scottish team
should be the unicorns
and the Welsh team, the leeks. I'd love to be playing for a team, especially in, you know, in my 50s.
Yeah.
I'm about to be with the leeks.
That's what I should have called the team in the book.
Yes. There you go. Well, when we do the TV show, which now, you know, now TV will come back and go, oh, yeah, actually, we did want it to be a 50-year-old woman all along.
And sponsored by Tenor.
Hey,
it's all matching up perfectly.
And I've got one final question. The rules of women's basketball were modified over several years to form the new game of netball.
Mm.
It was at the Bergman Osterberg Physical Training College in which English county?
Oh.
I mean, you know, take a wild guess.
Wow.
It's a county that Laura has some connection to.
Oh.
Oh. Well, I'm from Somerset. I live in Sussex. I went to uni in Kent. So let's go for one of three. I'm going to go Somerset.
Okay, that was the wrong one to go for, Jenny. Which one would you like to pick?
Kent.
Kent it was. It was in Dartford.
Hey.
But that is of the story of the Bergman Osterberg Physical Training College is worth looking up because it's this amazing Swedish woman who was a Swedish feminist, early Swedish feminist, and she came over and started this college for women's physical education. Mm. And she's a fascinating woman, so I recommend as a bit of further reading for everybody.
There we go.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm. So, I mean, I don't know who won that quiz, but you both did sort of well in different ways.
Yes,
yeah.
we made a good show of ourselves.
I was picturing us on the same team anyway against the quiz. It hadn't occurred to me we were against each other, so that's quite nice.
Yes.
It's basically us against Lucy.
Yeah. So we won. Yes.
There you go. And I will slope off the court. Is that even what you've got? Yeah, it's a football court, isn't it? That's how little I know. Well, it's been an absolute delight and a joy talking to you, Laura, and I feel justice on Pointless is coming your way, definitely.
Yes. Yeah, it's about time you were revisited to complete that story arc.
Yes.
Yeah.
It'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
It's like a modern Billy Elliot.
It is. We're seeing Crazy Elliot, if you will.
Yes.
And definitely, we are available for the TV version of Pivot.
Yeah. Brilliant. I'll put you on my list. Thank you very much. You.
Can I be a nun? I don't need a big part, but yeah. I'll just be a nun bouncing around in the background.
We'll just be some travelling
yeah.
nuns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we'll never name you in the credits. You'll always just be Nun Extra One.
That's exactly what I would like. Oh, it's such a delight talking to you, Laura. Hopefully see you very soon. Is there anything you wanted to talk about that you've got coming up, by the way?
No, not really. The podcasts, give them a listen. If you like a quiz, which you must do if you're listening to this, then Lex Education has a quiz every episode and woo-hoo. You will feel very smart. And if you like history, then the National Treasures podcast is me and Will Duggan going on days out and recording while we walk around stately homes and muddy fields and such. And it's very nice.
Lovely.
So you've given us history, science and sport. That is absolute value for money. So thank you so much, Laura Lex.
Yay! With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Now we are joined by the delightful, the ever-fragrant producer Amanda.
Skibbidi-bop.
Yeah, whip-bidly-boo, Amanda Redman. Give us a listener quiz from Mr. Nathan Chappell.
Yeah, this is a great one. It is called We're Number Two.
Oh, intriguing. Yeah. Is it about defecation?
Number two.
We are scatting.
Yeah, it is scat.
I mean, that's what I was trying not to say, but yeah, let's call a spade a spade.
Is it about things that were kept off number one in the pop charts by something else?
No.
I was just thinking of the classic Vienna. And yeah. What was it? Black Lace?
Shut Up Your Face.
Oh, Shut Up Your Face. There you go. That's great. That comes up a lot in quiz, doesn't it?
There is a music themed question. It's just three questions, but I really like these. I think this is a really nice quiz. So we'll get stuck in, shall we? So the first one is a sporting theme. Notts County is considered the oldest football club, being founded in 1862. But who is the second club founded in 1863? And there's a clue if you want it.
We're number two. No. Well, let's not.
Well, I'm assuming it's the oldest club that is in the Football League at present, because I thought Sheffield FC was the oldest club in England anyway.
So the oldest club that's still going.
Well, Sheffield FC are still going, they're just not a top flight club or second or third.
They're not one of the Sheffields I've heard of. No. They're not even
They're not your top Sheffield. But maybe it could be another Sheffield club?
No.
Is it from the North? I'm going like Preston North End or one of those that won.
One of the founders of the Football League. You'd think it'd have to be one of those.
Maybe we do need a clue. Look at me going, I don't need a clue.
Yeah. Well, I think, you've both had a good try without one. Well done. The clue is Reginald Mitchell, the inventor of the Spitfire, was born here.
Oh, well, it's Burnley.
Yeah.
Love just being confident for no reason. Yeah. Is it northwest? I feel northwest for some reason.
I don't think so.
Oh,
okay. Midlands.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stoke.
Yes.
It's Stoke. Whoa.
Stoke City.
Yeah.
Very good.
Well done. Okay, so politics.
Oh,
okay.
So Robert Walpole was the first English Prime Minister in office from 1721 to 1742. Who was second in office from 1742 to 1743?
Oh, so after Walpole.
And again, we've got a bit of a clue as well.
Pitt the Elder.
Pitt the Younger. He actually was in first. That was really annoying.
Yeah, just undermined his dad's authority.
I don't know, Robert Peel.
No, he's a little bit later than that, wasn't he?
Lord Cavendish.
Is it a member of nobility?
Yes.
Duke of Wellington. I'm just saying names.
Great try.
I'm taking the jazz theme to its logical conclusion and just freestyling. Go on then, give us a clue.
Well, I mean, he thinks this isn't really a clue, but it could be. Was the first Prime Minister to die in office.
Ooh. Mm.
George Canning. No, that was much later.
The first one to die in office rather than be assassinated.
Which
in
was Spencer Percival.
Spencer Percival.
Or is it, or Lance Percival? Spencer which one's Lance the actor? one of them's an actor. I don't know.
No, not Spencer Percival.
Well, the answer is Spencer Compton.
Oh, a lot of Spencers around in those days.
The first Earl of Wilmington, so yes, nobility.
Yes. Yeah,
well, they tended to all be, didn't they?
Yeah.
We didn't really get many working class stock coming through.
You don't really know either, do you?
It's been a while.
In latter years.
Hegemony of public school children.
Yeah.
Thank God for Liz Truss, though, breaking that. One of the finest prime ministers, I think, history will be
by
very
the time
kind.
This comes out.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it could be me being prime minister because... Yeah, I hope so, too, I think. Although I'm very busy at the moment. It's not a good
time. These podcasts won't record themselves, will they?
No.
Too busy to govern.
I'm sorry about that, yeah. Okay, final question. I wish this quiz was a little bit longer, actually, because it's really lovely.
I like the clues as well, the extra
clues. Yeah. Well. So, Nathan, if you want to send in another one, be our guest. So, to music. Selling over 6 million copies... Queen's The Greatest Hits Part 1 is the biggest selling UK album of all time, but can you name the second? And there's a clue here as well, which...
And it's not Part 2.
Is it a British artist or is it just sales within the UK?
No, yeah, sales within the UK because...
I've got to go for ABBA Gold then.
Yes. Oh,
you are right.
Great answer. Oh, this is such a good quiz.
And the clue here, I didn't know this, and Nathan doesn't say which member of ABBA, but one of the singers was born as part of the Nazi Lebensborn programme.
Yeah, that was...
Lebensborn?
Yeah, Frieda.
Yeah.
It's such a good quiz. I'm trying to think about any sort of famous examples of this. So, second person to set foot on the moon.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Those second person to...
Think of a question.
They said it this out, but I reckon we can come up with a few. I reckon.
Yeah, it is Buzz Aldrin, isn't it?
Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah, that's all right, yeah.
But who's the third?
There you go.
Well, there was somebody on that, somebody that didn't get to set foot at all.
So Michael Collins had to stay inside.
Got it.
Because my uncle was born at the moment of the moon landing.
Really?
And my grandparents decided to name him after astronauts. So they called him Michael Neal. They didn't go for Buzz.
Well, I think they're cowards.
Absolutely.
If you're going to do it, do it right. The third man on the moon was Charles Pete Conrad.
Yeah, Pete Conrad.
Yeah. I love the fact that it's Charles Pete Conrad.
Oh, so Pete was like, hey, I'm Charles, but call me Pete.
That's a good, it's a really good quiz. And I'm going to find more, possibly by the end of this episode, I'm going to find some more because I've enjoyed that. So thank you very much, Nathan Chappell, for a very, very good listener quiz.
Awesome.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman, with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.